everybody. Bill Buckmaster in the saddle with you. My buddy Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass. The day after the primary election, we'll have a complete primary recap. Dylan Smith will be with me. We've got Dan Scheer and Tim Steller will be on the phone telephonically with us. But Tom, we had a nice, gentle but steady rain for, I don't know, about 2 hours this morning, and maybe accumulated a quarter of an inch. Nice little, the plants love that.
Did you have a chance to check your rain gauge?
I didn't. I'm just guessing my rain gauge. What is it, Tom? Just a test tube, isn't it? Something.
Well, a test tube with CC markings on it.
Yeah, something like that. But anyway, I'm guessing probably a quarter of an inch. It's Buckmaster Wednesday, August the 3rd, 2022. We are in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio, our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line for our monthly conversation with Tucson City Councilman, the Ward 6 Democrat, Steve Kasacek. Steve, how are you?
Doing pretty well. How are you guys doing?
Doing pretty well. Any quick thoughts about yesterday's primary before we move on to other things with you?
Well, I don't know how quick I can be, but I'll try. When I went to bed last night, Karen Taylor-Robeson was ahead for the governor, but now I see Kerry Lake has pulled ahead. I went county by county around the state, and the only county that Robeson has won is Maricopa County. So that one, we could wind up with an election denier in the governor's race. Mark Fincham, Secretary of State, won. Oath Keeper, who also... it feels as though the election was stolen. Attorney General, another. Tom Horn, who doesn't like public schools, left in disgrace a few years ago, has won the Superintendent of Public Instruction. And Blake Masters, endorsed by Trump, winning. He's going to run against Mark Kelly. That's some interesting results, again, for the state of Arizona is going to stand out nationally. I will say, though, quickly, that the one I'm very happy about, I think Kirsten Engel is an absolutely quality candidate and very, very well qualified for the District 6 seat, and she'll be running against Juan Ciscomani. That'll be an interesting race to watch. Honestly, pretty disappointed in how some of those up ballot races are turning out.
Yeah, all of the election deniers that Trump endorsed, it appears they're all going to move on to the general, and we'll be talking more about that at 12:30. It's going to be an interesting governor's race because I, for one, don't think Kerry Lake can move much over to the center. I think what you see is what you get, and that may be a problem for her, Steve Kasacek.
Well, one of the problems of pivoting so far to the right in the primary, or so far to the left, in fairness, is that once you get to the general, you're going to alienate your base if you start to try and slide back towards the middle. I would like to think that, and this may not be true in the state of Arizona, but I would like to think that the vast majority of people are either a little bit to the right or a little bit to the left of the big bell curve that everyone's familiar with. Like I say, Kerry Lake, Mark Fincham, Abe, Tom Horn, Blake Masters. I mean, these are not middle of the road folks. And they're people who throw into question the validity of the last election. I guess that one would have to ask, then, how are they sure that this election is on the up and up, the ones that they won? I guess that's something they're going to have to confront, though, in the debates coming up.
All right. The plastics pilot project is off and running. You've been getting a lot of publicity about this. Yeah, what is this project, Steve Kasacek?
So this is, I'm so glad that you start with this. This is such an important.
Don't tell me. We have, Tom, did we lose Steve?
Momentarily.
Okay.
I've cleared the line so that he can easily get back in.
Yeah, I hope it's momentarily because We had like a phone situation yesterday, and I hope that hasn't reoccurred. But is he calling right back? Okay,
yeah.
Got him back. I'm sorry about that. Go ahead, Steve.
Okay, sorry. The plastics project. Right now, we are spending over $360,000 a year as a city in paying Republic Services for contamination out at the material recycle facility. A portion of that are plastics that are non-recyclable, and those are pretty much anything other than the water bottles and the Coke bottles that you see. So what we are doing is we are taking all the non-recyclable plastics from people. We are having them bring them here to the ward office, and we're putting them into a 30-cubic-yard roll-off, which is already full after a couple of weeks. We will then be shipping that roll-off over to Jason Tankersley's tanks, green stuff, out on the east side of town. He will crush the plastic that we send them and put in bale. It is called baling. It's like making bales of hay. We're making bales of plastic. And we will then truck it over to Bifusion, the company over in Gardena, California, who is making the plastic blocks out of plastics, and they'll ship them back to us. We estimate that we'll get about 1,500 blocks per ton of plastic. And once we get them back here, we will be building with them. We have already built bench. We're building benches in Himo Park. We're building trash enclosure out at the El Rio Community Center. I've already got programmed a Ramada for a dog park out in one of the parks in Ward 6. And the goal is to say a few things. First of all, this is stuff that would otherwise be ending up in the landfill. And so let's, instead of that, put it to a productive use. And the use is making these construction-grade blocks. They're like big Legos, and they are solid. They've got a superior R value to regular masonry blocks. The cost is about the same as a regular masonry block, about $1.50, $1.60 per block. And there is no concrete involved in the construction. You and I and Tom could go out and build a wall out of these things in our backyard in an afternoon and just cinch them together with rebar. So we held yesterday a giveaway. I call them starter kits, where we're giving away 10 free plastic bags for people to start gathering their stuff in and bring it to the ward office, and some information on these. And I figured, you know, we'd be out there from 9:30 to 12:30 here in front of the ward office and give away 50 or 60 of these kits. We gave away well over 200, 250.
Wow.
People were literally lined up. I mean, they'd pull up in their car. There was a line of people all morning long. And by about 10:30, I was raiding the custodial closets at the ward office for more bags. We ran across the street and bought some at Walgreens. And I mean, this is something that the community is so far ahead of us on that they're looking. I mean, try walking through a grocery store sometime and try and not buy something plastic.
Yes.
You can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
All of the packaging material is plastic. You know, you go to a restaurant and the clamshell that you walk out of there with the takeaway is plastic. The spoons and forks and knives are plastic. The single-use plastic bags that they bag your groceries with at a grocery store. We can use all of that stuff. You can't recycle any of it, but we can use all of it for these Bifusion blocks. And so we're going to be running this pilot program through the end of the calendar year. We're gathering the costs. I mean, the bags that we're giving away, they have a cost to them. It's going to cost money to bale the plastic. It's going to cost some money to run the baled plastic over to California. I'm going to gather all the costs, and at the end of the calendar year, we'll sit down with the city manager and demonstrate that for the value that this brings, both economically and environmentally, we're keeping the stuff out of the landfill, we're not paying the contamination fee to Republic Services, and we're actually not buying masonry blocks to build the construction things that we've identified through Prop 407, the parks, all the building that we're doing in parks all over the city. We have schools reaching out to us. In fact, I was talking to a woman yesterday who is working with one of the school districts, and we are they can build the raised planter beds. The different kinds of projects that you can do are just without limit, and anything from tiny homes to benches to ramadas to trash enclosures to block walls in your backyard.
So you hope this will be a citywide project after the first of the year?
Yeah, I really do, and I think it will be. And the reason I say that is just because I had people driving in from Oro Valley to pick this stuff up, and people don't know what to do with the plastics, and they realize that when they throw it in the trash, it's just filling up a landfill. And people are more responsible than that, and they've been looking for something productive to reuse this waste, and that's what this is about. It's reusing something that is otherwise simply waste. And I got to tell you, I've traveled to Africa and Thailand and Sri Lanka, and they don't waste nearly what we waste in this country. And I think a lot of our community gets that. And so, yeah, after the end of the year, we'll sit down, we'll run the numbers, and I'm absolutely certain that the city manager, Rahina, and the rest of the council will see this makes sense to expand to a citywide basis. Right now, we have a 30-cubic-yard roll-off at the Ward 6 office. We're at 3202 East 1st. It's right across Speedway from the Loft Theater. We'd prefer people put their plastics into a plastic bag so that when we take it out to tanks, the Coke bottles and things aren't blowing all over the all over his yard, but it's already pre-bagged. But you don't have to. You don't have to use our plastic bags. You can use the regular garbage bags from your home and just bag the stuff up and bring it over, and we'll turn it into blocks, and we'll be building with it before the year's out.
All right, Steve Kasachek, stick around. We'll take a break right here. It's the Buckmaster Show, midweek edition. 790-2040, a comment for Steve Kasachek. If you have any, give us a call. We'll take a break right here in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studios.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Our telephonic interviews, like the one we're doing with Steve Kasachek, presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Steve Kasachek, is the Reed Park Master Plan, have they taken some steps forward on that?
Yeah, well, right now they are still gathering, we the city are still gathering information, survey results, and we've gotten quite a bit, actually. Several thousand people have weighed in on it. And the goal is to look at Reed Park, take the input from the public, you know, how do they use it now, how would they like to see it being used, and work towards a revisioning, reimagining of Reed Park over the long haul, and, you know, start to chip away at adding these amenities. I will say that, you know, this is not going to be a complete overhaul. I mean, Reed Park is a very popular destination right now. We're not going to do things like get rid of High Corbett baseball field or the zoo or the golf courses. We have five golf courses in Tucson, and two of them make money, and those are the only two that Reed Park. So we're talking about nibbling around the edges. What do you want to see? More Ramadas, improve the Demeester Center, the sound, the opportunities and, you know, for activities there. So that's the kind of thing we're hearing from people, is that they really like what we've got. Some of the input that we've heard right off the bat are along the lines of the walking path that's on both Broadway and 22nd Street is too close to traffic and not a real enjoyable walk or jog or bike ride. And so how do we pull that back away from the roadway, put more landscaping in, those kinds of things. But we're gonna keep gathering the input, and hopefully by the near the end of the year we'll have some sort of a rough idea master plan from the Parks Department staff who are doing this for us to take some positions on.
All right, we had a caller who wants more information. Getting back to the plastic blocks, is there a phone number, maybe the ward office, where folks could find out more?
Yeah, they can call the ward office 791-4601, and any of us here in the office can answer questions, or they can come by anytime Monday through Friday between 9 and 1. We've got all the information here in our front entryway, and they can see a sample of the block that we're going to be using. So yeah, call or come by. We're happy to engage with people on it. It's
all right.
Really, really popular.
791-4601. All right. Yep. There was some confusion about HUD and evictions. Could you clear that up for us, please?
Confusion about HUD and
The eviction prevention. I know you wrote about this in your current newsletter, and people were worried that there'd been some changes and that could lead to evictions of some people.
So there are a couple of things going on. First of all, we have been giving out, we, both the city and the county, have been doling out federal dollars for both eviction prevention and utility assistance. And those dollars, we were so effective in getting the dollars out the door that the state actually allocated us several million more dollars to give out. So people can still apply for some of the, it's called the Emergency Rental Assistance, ERAP program. Right now, the county is the one who's taking the lead on finishing up that program, so people can reach out and still get that kind of assistance. One of the challenges that we're having, and it's the second piece of this, is the state of Arizona has implemented a prohibition on any local jurisdictions from implementing rent controls. The result is we are seeing large investments from states where they do allow rent controls, California being the most immediate one, where we're seeing the most new dollars flowing in. And what they're doing is either real estate investment trust or just people, well-heeled investors, are coming in and buying up middle-of-the-road in terms of cost, apartment complexes, throwing a fresh coat of paint on and throwing some carpeting down and jacking the rents up 40 or 50%. There is nothing that the city can do in terms of limiting the rent increases that we're seeing from these out-of-state investors. And I say out-of-state, and that's where most of them are. And so what we have been seeing is the landlords looking for ways to end people's leases at the end of their lease. And one of the tactics they've been using is saying that we, the landlord, are no longer going to participate in some of the HUD programs, the Section 8 housing programs, the housing choice voucher programs that the city implements. And so what we are doing is we are putting into place, we have two more public outreaches, but what we are proposing is putting into place what's called income source discrimination prohibition, so that you cannot refuse to extend somebody's lease solely based on the source of their income. That could be Social Security, it could be veterans benefits, it could be the Housing Choice Voucher Program. And that those are the people who are reliant on those fixed income sources of income are the ones who are being the most negatively impacted by these landlords who are jacking the rents up 40 and 50%. Now, I want to be fair to the landlords in this, too. Many of the landlords that we're seeing here in town are property managers. They're doing what the property owners out of state oftentimes are directing them to do. And so I don't want to make it sound like I'm just coming down hard on landlords here. The second thing is that if I put money into a property, you know, paint, carpeting, whatever, better lighting, then I have a right to expect a reasonable rate of return on those investments. If I'm putting new carpeting in someone's place, I ought to be able as a landlord to realize a reasonable rate of return on that. That's not 40 and 50% increase in rents, and that's what we're seeing. So if the state would allow cities across the state to say put a 10% cap or pick your number, a reasonable increase based on investments, then that could be something I think a lot of we could all live with. Until the state does that, then we are left with very few tools in the toolkit to help keep people housed. So the rental assistance program is one. This income source discrimination program is another. That is a double-edged sword. If we are going to implement that that program, then it is incumbent on the city also to administer that program effectively, so that we're not telling landlords you have to wait an extra 30 days for inspections before you can move somebody in, or you got to wait 30 days for your payment. Because we realize that if I put a property up for rent, I've got people knocking on the door in this housing market, and so it's incumbent on us to do it well. So that's that's a challenge that we've got, and we're seeing seniors who are run out of their homes right now because out-of-state investment is jacking rents up, and we're creating a new demographic of homelessness, and that is seniors.
All right. The numbers came out today, the weekly numbers on COVID. We've still got an issue in this community. Approximately 300 cases a day of COVID, but the health department will tell you at maybe three times that. So if it's about... That would put it close to like 1,000 cases a day.
Yeah, and we were in a shutdown when the variant was Delta, and this was a shutdown imposed by a Republican governor. And when the numbers were this high a year and a half ago, we're in kind of a shoulder shrug, who cares surge. There's a lot of people who've been vaccinated and boosted. They're still getting this, and the upside is that if you have been vaccinated and boosted, the data indicate that you are less likely to get a severe illness of COVID. We still have, though, in the state of Arizona, over 30% of the population who haven't been fully vaccinated. What does a virus do? It looks for an unprotected host. And how do variants continue? Is that they look for unprotected hosts and they mutate. And that's exactly what we've seen with COVID. The BA5 variant right now is one that is the most highly transmissible variant that we've seen in COVID since 2020 when this all began. And it is highly transmissible. And so Pima County continues to give out free self-test kits. They continue to allow free vaccinations, free boosters, and free testing on site. Pima County Health Department is 100% encouraging people to get tested if you have symptoms, get tested if you've been around somebody who has been infected, get boosted, get vaccinated. And if you are around somebody, then do what the CDC says. Wear a mask if you're in large crowds. Stay isolated if you've been around somebody who's been tested, who's tested positive. And the sad reality is that go drive down 4th Avenue or Main Gate or downtown on a Friday or Saturday night. It's as though this doesn't even exist. And as long as that's the attitude, it's going to stay with us and it's going to keep mutating. And we're going to keep getting new variants. And this just isn't going away anytime soon.
All right, Steve Kasachek, thank you for joining us, and I hope you have a great rest of the day.
You too. Thanks for having me again, Bill.
All right, 791-4601, by the way. 791-4601 is Steve Kasachek's office. You can find out more about the Plastic Blocks program. Sounds very interesting. Take a break right here. Dylan Smith is with me, going to co-anchor our election primary wrap-up right after the break.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, everybody's really happy over at Green Things today because had a very nice gentle rain in the foothills this morning. Of course, that's wonderful for the plants. The 13-acre site is at 3384 East River Road. They are open daily. They've been in business for more than a half a century. The folks over there know what they're doing. When you go in, they have such knowledgeable salespeople. They can point you in the right direction for everything you need for the garden. And they also have some really beautiful things, from much of it handcrafted merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe as part of their sister business, Zocalo Village. It's greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. When we do our telephone interviews, and we've got a couple of them in the next half hour, those are supported by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Dylan Smith is with me, the founder, editor, publisher of TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan is with me in studio. Dylan, how are you?
Pretty good. It was a nice misty morning over on the west side as well.
Very nice. I love those kind of misty mornings.
We're not getting serious monsoon storms so much, although we've had a few here and there. But
I was just noticing
the last few days, kind of just moisture.
The big winds, luckily, knock on wood,
perking up in my yard at least.
All right, on the live line, we're on line one, Dan Scheer, editor, Green Valley News, Saharita Sun, and Tim Steller on line two. To the Arizona Daily Star columnist. Tim, how are you?
I'm good. I hate rain, though, of course. Just kidding.
Yeah, of course. Well, I'm kind of a weather hobbyist, right, Tim?
Yep, me too.
Yeah, okay. Dan Scheer, how are you, Dan? How's everything?
Doing great. We had a wicked downpour in Sarita this morning. It was quite something.
Knowing my love for the weather, and actually I spent a half hour on the show yesterday talking to the UA climate scientist Zach Guido, kind of getting a monsoon update. I could spend the whole rest of the show talking about weather, but we're here to talk about
something else happened lately.
We're here to talk about politics. So it was a big night for the election deniers. President Trump's backing about four or five of the top tickets, top races on the top of the ticket did well. Dylan, let's begin with you. Your thoughts overall. Any major surprises?
Well, as you say, it was a big night for people who were endorsed by Donald Trump. We still have a couple of races that are, I think, too close to call. The Republican gubernatorial primary, I think, is still tight, and there are a whole lot of ballots left to go through in Maricopa County, and it'll really kind of depend on how they come in.
But those were day of ballots, pretty much, right?
People who voted on the day of, and people who dropped their early ballot off in person.
Okay.
So you, whichever demographic that might be, is not exactly clear. What is interesting is that, in a lot of these Republican primaries, there were choices to be made between people who were, MAGA types supported by Donald Trump, or at least, fervently trying to attract his attention, some of them, even if they weren't endorsed, Rodney Glassman, and folks who maybe are a little bit more, old school establishment mainstream Republicans, even if they were, spouting some of the same Trumpy lines. And some of those races were pretty close. There still seems to be a, significant portion of the Republican Party who are not big on Donald Trump right now.
All right, Tim Steller, you're up.
Well, I will dive down into the details and tell you that the result that's caught my attention is the Republican primary in LD 17. That's an interesting district because it's the one that wraps around Metro Tucson from over like Oro Valley, Saddlebrook, over around to the east side and down to Vail. The whole idea in designing that district was to create a Republican district in southern Arizona in Pima County. And the Southern Arizona Leadership Council, of course, was pushing for that. They were one of the prime drivers. Anyway, the idea, of course, is we've got to get a Republican representing Southern Arizona because they're the majority in the legislature. As it turns out, the incumbent of sorts, Vince Leach, is behind a perennial candidate, Justine Wadsack, who I think could have more trouble in a general election than Vince Leach would. So, I mean, you know, it's possible Leach pulls that one out. He's behind by 1,200 or so votes right now with most of the vote counted. But it would be quite the thing if they designed a district for Republicans to win, only for an unelectable person to get chosen.
All right. Let's go now to Dan Scheer. Dan, your thoughts.
Well, I'm going to head down to Congressional District 6, which, of course, is Ann Kirkpatrick. She's not coming back, and so it's open and redrawn and leans a little bit Republican. And in the Democratic primary, Kirsten Engel beat Daniel Hernandez. Suspected that might happen. I just didn't think it would to this degree. Daniel has been feeding at the public trough for a long time. I'm sure he'll be back. We haven't seen the end of him. But she is going to make a probably much stronger opponent for Juan Siscomani, who is the Republican nominee, and it'll be very interesting to see them go toe-to-toe the next couple of months, and hopefully they can stick to the issues.
And Tim, you tweeted this morning, you think that race now is going to be pretty competitive.
Yeah, I mean, if you take into consideration specifically the issue of abortion rights, that is really animating a lot of people, and it is a district that leans Republican, but that is a really important issue for a lot of people in all parties and categories. Now, Siscomani, it should be said, he really did well. I am really surprised by his margin of victory. That's a district in its old form that put Brandon Martin in as a candidate and has often picked right-wing Republicans who were too far right to win the district. But this time, maybe it's just a different form of the district, but, you know, he's got a 25 percentage point margin over Brandon Martin, Siscomani does, and that's a shockingly strong showing to me.
It's very strong, but he got about 47% of the vote. It was a five-way race. On the other side, in the Democratic side, Kirsten Engel's margin of victory pretty much 60 to 34, and then there was another candidate picking up a few percentage points, was, I think, a whole lot wider than most of us thought. But I was thinking that would be more like, under a 10-point race.
Yeah, I was too. For what it's worth, those margins are the same, 25 percentage points, both in the Democratic and Republican primaries as it stands. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that'll change.
Dan, you wrote about this attorney general candidate who emerged last night. Who is this guy?
Well, he's not been an attorney very long, and what we didn't like what we saw, and that is that he appears to have been deceptive in how much money he had raised, and he put on his campaign filing that he raised $1 million, and it was actually a loan from his brother, and that loan hit the filings at such a time period that it would seem that he had a lot of public support when he really didn't, and by the time people figured it out, we were halfway through early voting, and he had already paid back his brother and had, like, you know, two nickels in his pocket. So it was deceptive. And of course, his answer is, well, wouldn't you expect that from the fake media to point this out? He's not addressing it. And so I'm a little I'm very concerned that someone like this could be the top lawman in the state when he is has clearly been deceptive.
And that seems to be timed to that. It seemed to have been timed to be the thing that really attracted the attention of Donald Trump and earned him the endorsement. In a race where just about everybody, that was a six-way contest in that Republican primary, and everybody in there was trying to get endorsed by Donald Trump.
Tim, did you have a quick thought before I take a break?
No, that's what I was going to say, too, that it was that deception that won him the all-important endorsement. I mean, without that, maybe we would see an actual Rodney Glassman victory for once, but apparently not.
All right.
But we should also throw on there very quickly that he is an election denier. And so, again, you're going to have that also in the top spot if he beats Chris Mays, but that's going to be quite a race in itself.
And you brought up election deniers, and I know it is time to take the break, but Mark Fincham, who is the Republican candidate for Secretary of State in Arizona, joins five other state winners in the Republican across the country. So you got six election deniers in key states. This could be set up a very interesting situation for 2024, Dylan Smith.
Well, and consistently, these folks who say that our elections are corrupt and they're all stolen never seem to question the election that gets them into place. How are they so special that when they win, everything's on the up and up, but everything else is, totally a pack of lies?
Carrie Lake was questioning it before the election was even over. She said 7 out of 10.
And she's saying she's seeing inconsistencies and things going wrong, yet refuses to tell anybody what these supposed crimes are. Shouldn't that somebody who's trying to be in a position of public responsibility, if they know a crime is taking place, report it to somebody?
Quick comment, Tim.
But, yes, even beyond that, I mean, imagine what would have happened if the reverse happened as what happened last night. That is, okay, so first results come in, and what occurred is that Karen Taylor Robeson was ahead by 10 points. And then overnight, more votes came in, and Carrie Lake has overcome that margin. What if it was the opposite direction? What if Carrie Lake had been ahead and Karen Taylor Robeson's, the subsequent count had brought her into the lead? You can be sure Carrie Lake would have been crying foul, but as it is, she's got the advantage, so she's not saying anything about it.
All right, when we come back, the question will be, let's look ahead now to the gubernatorial matchup. Presumably it will be Lake. That could change, but I think Lake is your winner. Lake versus Hobbs. How does Carrie Lake now move over to the center to try to attract some Republican centrists? We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. This is a perfect time of year to go over to Silver City, only about a three-hour drive. So green! We're still trying to catch up with all the rain they've had in the Gila National Wilderness in Silver City. So you'll actually have a very pleasant three-hour drive over to Silver City as the rains have cooled things off and really greened them up. Start your planning by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find everything you need to know about a great stay, great places to stay, and lots of things to do. Deconstructing Primary 2022, Dylan Smith is here from TucsonSentinel.com. On our live lines, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, Dan Scheer and Tim Steller. Okay, if Carrie Lake does emerge as the winner of the Republican gubernatorial candidate, and we'll begin with Dylan here in studio, what kind of race is that, Hobbs versus Lake?
If she does hang on to that victory, she's up about 2 percentage points right now with a lot of ballots left to go, but things seem to have been trending in her favor. That'll be a very different race, I think, than if Taylor Robeson were at the top of the Republican ticket. Like you mentioned before we took the break, can Carrie Lake kind of pivot back to the middle and try and pull aboard, those nonpartisan so-called independent voters in the middle? Can she dial it down a little bit? I don't know.
What do you think, Tim Steller?
Oh, I don't think so. I mean, I think she is who she is. She converted. You know, she was accused a lot in the primary of being fake because she was saying pro-Trump things and stuff like that, that she hadn't done, she had contributed to Obama before and all that. But honestly, I never doubted her conversion. I think she converted. She's a true believer. And I have a hard time believing she's going to be able to dial that back. You know, it's just, it's who she is at this stage.
How about it, Dan Scheer?
Well, she can start by being honest, and then she should move on to actually addressing the issues, which we found when we had her in our newsroom. She's very weak on water, inflation, mining, education. I could keep going on and on. She likes to fight with the press. She likes to talk about immigration in inflammatory terms. And at the end of the day, she's like eating cotton candy. You know, it's like it's good for a little while, but it's not very filling. And so I think to actually make her mark, she needs to start talking about the issues. And that's probably why Katie Hobbs would rather go up against her than Karen Taylor Robeson, because Robeson could probably handle the issues much better than Carrie Lake will.
And the issues that actually have something to do with being the governor of the state of Arizona, perhaps?
Absolutely. And so immigration, not hitting it from the federal level. They do their job and stop, going after that. But how does what happens over there affect us here in the state of Arizona, if she could focus on that? But you know what? I just don't know that she can tell you what she thinks the problems are, but she can't tell you what she wants to do about them.
How about Tom Horn? Looks like Tom is back, winning the state school superintendent race. He's the former state school's chief. He's the former attorney general. And Tom Horn will go up against the incumbent state school superintendent. Any thoughts on that, Tim?
Oh, it just makes me feel tired.
talking about...
Where was Tom Horan all this time?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I don't know.
You plotting.
Know, we've heard from him so many times, and leaving aside his comments and interviews and such, his signs are about stopping critical race theory. It's just like, we really have to go down this path. So that's my feeling.
Dan?
He just keeps climbing back onto the stage, doesn't he? And mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see him up against Kathy Hoffman, who's coming off her first term and has definitely a different approach to it. And I think people were still surprised that he showed up, and now this morning really surprised he won. Sapir was making a little bit of a charge there at the end. But, I don't think we have a new Tom Horn. We just have Tom Horn back. And I bet this race is so far down the ballot for a lot of people, it's going to come down to whether you're an R or a D.
You know, District 18, the Democratic Senate primary, Morgan Abraham spent a ton of money on mailers. And they were very well done, large color mailers. I'm sure a lot of people, the mailers go into the circular file right away. But it looks like he's lost that race.
Yep.
Tim?
Yeah, it does. Not only did he, maybe you're referring to this without realizing it. There was a lot of outside money spent on his behalf. It was by groups aligned with or funded by home builders and the Multi Housing Association. They were strong supporters of him. I think it was $100,000 in outside money that was spent on his behalf. And yet another win for the law school. Kirsten Engel won in CD6, and Priya, I'm going to say her last name wrong, Sundarajan, is that how you say her name? She appears to have won. I talked to her earlier today, and that race seems to be sewn up. And that's big, not just for today, but because this is the first election of a 10-year cycle. Whoever wins on the Democratic side in a district like that leans heavily Democratic is likely to have a leg up for many cycles to come.
The election turned out to be there really weren't that many problems in Pima County, but there were in Pinal, Dylan Smith.
There were a few hiccups here mm-hmm. and there, and certainly, some things that calling them the election denier crew is, not incorrect. Started jumping up and down about in Pima County, but up in Pinal County, things were a serious mess yesterday in a lot of places. And Pinal is now one of the, I think there are only two counties left in Arizona that don't use the vote center model that was so controversial here in Pima County that it was the last one to adopt it. They still have precinct voting, and there were a whole bunch of precincts running out of ballots.
Yep.
They didn't have enough for all the people who were showing up on Election Day, including, Tim was mentioning, that race that it looks like Justine Wonsack is pulling out. That was that district covers Saddlebrook, which is in Pinal County, and they ran out of ballots in that area.
All right. Tim, final word, 5 seconds.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a massive referendum on Donald Trump followers, his leading supporters here in Arizona, and their election denial claims, and that'll be really important.
Thank you, Tim Stellar. Dan, final 5 seconds.
We should mention that Rusty Bowers, who testified at the January 6th hearing, lost his bid for a state Senate seat.
Dylan Smith, 5 seconds.
I think going into the general, abortion rights are going to remain a huge issue. Abortion is something that has really touched just about every family in America at some point or another. And a lot of suburban women are going to be making decisions based on that.
All right, Bill Buckmaster saying thank you very much, guys, for being with us. Hope everybody has a great afternoon.